So this morning we do indeed continue our series in Luke entitled All About Jesus. Our focus returns back onto Luke 8. This time we're going to be looking at verses 16 through to 21. And as Bill told us earlier, this passage really is a continuation of last week's parable of the sower. But before we look at the passage, may I start in the same way I did last week with a couple of questions. How is your hearing? Would you consider yourself to be a good listener? You see, when I was growing up, I was often accused of having selective hearing, which basically means to translate, I choose to hear what I wanted to hear. Let me give you an example, if I may. Mum, may I go and play football with my friends? Mum responds with, yes, dear, you may. Don't get muddy, but be back by seven. Obviously, I heard the yes part, but I didn't hear the bit that said, be back by seven, don't get muddy. So you can imagine the shock on my mother's face as I arrived back at 8 p.m. And worse still, as caked from head to toe in mud. My clothes were filthy, and she used to wag her finger at me. But I was still the apple of her eye. And you know what? There were then times when she'd have to say things over and over. For example, she would tell me something one week and then repeat the exact same story the following week. Despite telling me the same thing twice, it didn't sink in. Sound familiar? I'm hoping you've understood my humour there. For those that weren't here last week, I've just shared the exact same illustration from last week. You see, you have to be careful how you listen. You must listen to all the story. There's no point listening to part of it and then maybe missing something that's vital. Now, I'm sure we've all fallen foul at some point or another. The reality is we sometimes choose what we want to hear. We don't always listen to everything we've been told. It doesn't all sink in. So as we continue looking at verses 16 through to 21, in verse 8, the message is still the same, which leads us onto the first point for this morning. Be careful how you listen. Look there at verses 16 and 17 with me. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it into a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. In reality, this is a straightforward statement which Jesus makes. It makes no sense to light a lamp only to hide it in a jar or under the bed. Light enables us to see in the darkness. It's not meant to be hidden. If it's hidden, we can't use it to navigate the obstacles we find in our way. You know, light is valuable to us. It doesn't work if we just, when we use it, we then just simply hide it away. Without a light, I'd never find my shoes in the cupboard under the stairs at our house. Without a light, come bedtime, I'd never make it safely up to our bedroom. Without a light, I'd never find my way. If you've ever been to the Sinclair's house, it's difficult anyway, but imagine trying to do that in the dark with no light. Light is valuable. We need to not hide it away. Instead, Jesus is saying we must put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. And there are many different references to light in God's word. Perhaps too many that we went through them all this morning, but perhaps Jesus had some of these in mind during his teaching here. Either way, I think his message is clear. If you're a follower of Christ, then let your light shine. We've been singing about it all morning. We should stand up and let the light of God's love shine through us. There's no reason for us to hide it away. No reason for us to be ashamed. The gospel is great news, news that we should share. It is light for all those who walk in darkness. So why, when is this such good news? Are we prone to hiding our light? Because it's an interesting question, particularly when we consider other news. Let me illustrate my point for you. Now, he won't mind, but let's just take our beloved Gareth Pooley for a moment. We all know that Mr. Pooley here is a proud Welshman. How do we know? Well, we know because he talks about Wales often enough. He tells you the sun always shines in Wales, and he always wears a shirt, whether that's a Welsh football shirt or a Welsh rugby shirt. And he's even indoctrinated his boys too. You can tell that he must be away this weekend because I've seen both boys this morning and none of them have got anything Welsh related on. That must be Lorraine's influence. But Gaz, you know, he is really passionate about his country and he makes his allegiance pretty clear. Do you know what? I guess you could say the same thing about the Brewer family. They're all Bolton mad. Did you know that they're currently the Papa John Trophy holders? So you'd be forgiven for thinking they'd won a pizza, but it's actually a real trophy. If you want to know anything about Bolton, then ask one of the Brewers. But do they talk about the good news of Jesus as much as Wales and Bolton? Now, before you throw stones at me, none of them are here today, which is interesting. I didn't choose that for a reason. I'm not judging them. But it's just making the point. All too often we talk about the other news rather than the greatest news. And you know, and I include myself in that. I'm very good at getting involved, embroiled in just the chitter-chatter. Perhaps we miss opportunities to share the good news and would rather maybe just get involved in football gossip or gossip of any other kind. But you know, sadly there are other reasons why we might choose not to shine our light. Perhaps our light will expose what is hidden in our own lives. We sometimes act as if we don't say anything. If we don't say anything, we'll remain kind of hidden. And there are other times, I'm sure, when we simply don't want to be bothered. We'd rather not get into deep conversations. We make the too tired excuse. If we hold that view, then it perhaps shows that we don't care enough about other people. And then there's the negative feedback, isn't there? There's a negative feedback that we might receive if we do shine. Nobody wants to be name-called for believing our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to face ridicule from our friends or feel belittled by them. We don't want to face peer pressure from colleagues for perhaps not being inclusive. We may not want to risk the wrath of a teacher who maybe believes something different. But Jesus is clear in Luke 12, in the passage about warnings. He says, if you don't acknowledge me, then I won't acknowledge you. If you want to stand with Jesus, then we have to stand for Jesus. Jesus then follows this with, turn to verse 17 with me, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. What Jesus is saying here links back to a verse we discussed last week. God sent his son Jesus into the world to share the secrets of the kingdom. With that phrase, secrets of the kingdom, we saw that back in verse 10 last week. He came into the world to reveal the truth to us. That was one of his purposes. And if we know this truth, then we're responsible to pass on this truth. We're to spread his word. We are to spread the truth in whatever way God intends. He'll always provide us with opportunities to share his good news. God didn't light our lamps so that we might hide them under our beds. We must share the word ourselves or point to places where they can hear it. I think perhaps it's best to do both. Whatever way you choose, point people to the Lord. Don't leave it too late. It's either now or now. Because when the day of judgment is upon us, it's too late. And because of this, we should carefully consider how we listen. Look there at verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Jesus says, if we listen carefully, then we'll continue to grow. We can't have selective hearing and expect to be given more. We must listen. We must listen with real intent and real purpose. If we pay careful attention to Christ, then we'll increase in our understanding. We'll increase in understanding and become more faithful in our discipleship. But if we choose to have the, you know, deaf ears expression to be used, then we'll lose what we've already have. Now, please note, this is not a threat, but it is a promise. It's a fact of life. Let me illustrate the point in a couple of ways, if I can. I'm sure when some of you were growing up, maybe at school you learnt another language. For many, I'd imagine that was French or German. But maybe there was some Latin. I did Latin at prep school for a while. I was terrible at it. In order to develop our fluency and our understanding, we had to practice a lot. And when we did, in most cases, perhaps our vocabulary improved, and so did our fluency. But when we slacked off and didn't practice, we forgot what we learned. I think if I went to France, I'd probably be able to say, hello, my name, and goodbye. Bonjour, je m'appelle Ben, au revoir. Trying to think. Comment appelles-tu? Is that what is your name? Yeah, see, look at that. Yeah, that was a great... See, that would be about it. And it was the same when I was learning a musical instrument. Sorry, Mum. When I was at secondary school, I learned to play the clarinet. I'd probably use the word learnt kind of loosely. The reality was I never made it past grade one. And the reason why was because I never practiced. I just repeated the same lesson over and over again. It got me out of maths. I did manage to play in the orchestra at least once, but my clarinet playing was very much like my swimming last week. It was fraudulent. I sat in my seat and I just pretended to play. I wasn't ever confident. I don't think I blew a single note the entire time I sat there. I was too frightened to blow a duff note and I couldn't read the music for Toffee. But you know what? It's the same with everything. No practice equals no improvement. As one commentator says, it's a principle of life that we are never standing still. We're either always progressing or we're regressing. And this is true in our spiritual lives. It's true in a spiritual sense. We are never standing still. People don't suddenly just fall into sin. Most of the time, due to a lack of practice, their faith has faded. It's just like a fire. Fuel it and it burns bright. Leave it and it fades away. You must stoke the fire. You must keep adding to it. You must keep it going. If you start it and then forget about it, the fire becomes cold before going out. Just remind it that Jesus reminds us that our faith is like a fire that we must continue to fuel. So let me ask you these questions before we move on. Is your light shining brightly? Is your faith on fire for God, or is your faith fading? Are you listening carefully? Are you growing in your knowledge of God? If you're listening well and growing in knowledge, then put it into practice. Which leads us to our second point this morning. Second and final point, I should add. Verses 19 to 21. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see, or wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So you might think that the arrival of Jesus' mother and brothers seems somewhat of an interruption. You know, in the context of the passage, all of a sudden, his mum and brothers appear. Yet, the setting is still the same, and the teaching that Jesus gives remains the same. We see in verse 19, we read that Jesus' mother and brothers, they came to see him, but there's a problem. Because of the great crowd, they can't get near him. Now, bit of conjecture, but I imagine this huge crowd, and they're at the back, and maybe they're jumping up. Oh, maybe shouldn't jump in the pulpit. Maybe they're jumping up, waving, trying to get attention, or maybe they've passed a message forward. Imagine as they stood behind the crowd and this message was passed forward, and once the message has reached the front, we read that someone says, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." Now, Jesus responds with what I think is rather a sweeping statement. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Here, Jesus is driving home his teaching about what it means to follow him. Because we know from John 7 verse 5 that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him. So he declares his true brothers and sisters are those who obey his instructions. Now this may appear to sound harsh on his biological family, but it's true. Because Jesus is teaching us about what it means to be part of his true family. Now perhaps after making this statement, Jesus did go and talk to his mum. But the teaching point remains the same. Despite it perhaps being hard to hear, we must understand that our relationship to him should be more important. Our relationship with him should be the most important relationship that we have. But don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that we shouldn't care about our families, but he is warning us that our families can hinder our relationship with him. Don't get me wrong, families are important, but they shouldn't come before God. We need to make sure that we don't muddle our priorities. God first, family second. How can we expect to get things right in our families if God doesn't feature first? Jesus points the way for us here. The people who are truly in his family are those who hear and obey. If we're truly listening, then you'll put your trust in him. You'll do what he says. We'll put into practice what he's told us. We'll follow him and his commands, which got me thinking. I don't know about you, but whenever you have computer problems, is there somebody you ring? Again, he's not here, but I ring George all the time. When it comes to technology and computers, George knows far more than I do. Maybe don't tell him. So when I have a problem, I often rely on George to sort it out for me. I listen to what he tells me and I trust that he has that knowledge to be able to fix it. I trust the knowledge that he possesses. And if he tells me something, even if I'm maybe a little bit reluctant to do it, I do as he says. Why? Because I trust him. I believe what he's saying to me, so I obey his instructions. And perhaps you don't use George, but perhaps there's somebody else that you trust for computer advice in this example. Which then begs the question, if you're willing to trust others for advice, how much more should we then trust the one who created the world? The one who alone is holy. The one who knows us better than we know ourselves. The one who promised to guide us into all truth when it comes to life. You know, if we grasp the nature of God and the authority of his word, even if it's just a little, then we should be willing to do what he says. We should trust in his words. Jesus declares that it's those who hear the word of God and do it that are truly part of the family of Christ. It's these who belong. It's these individuals, these people. They're the ones who are the good soil in the previous parable. How you listen to God's word shows if you really are in the family of Christ. How you put into practice God's word shows if you are a true disciple of Jesus. The way we listen and the way we put into practice what we hear is crucial. So how is your hearing? Would you consider yourself to be a good listener? As we draw to a close, there's a few more questions to consider. I'm conscious I've thrown a lot of questions at you, so I apologise. But there are hopefully some things to think about. Firstly, where does God want you to shine your light? Where does he want your light to shine for him? Is there a family member who needs to see your example? Is there a co-worker who needs to know about our Saviour Jesus? Is there a friend who needs to know, why are you different? Alternatively, do you need the light to shine to expose your sinful lifestyle? What have you got to lose from shining your light for Christ? You've nothing to lose. It's those in darkness around you that lose out. Look for ways this week where you can let your light for Christ shine. Look for opportunities to show his love and his kindness. Take advantage of opportunities to talk openly about your faith. Reveal him through your obedience and in the way you speak and act. Now remember that God commands you to forgive those who hurt you. If you're holding a grudge over someone, then let it go. In God's strength, you can do what's right and not wrong. You know, if you're experiencing some hostilities, then pray for strength. Ask God for his help and the confidence to say the right words. Whatever difficulties you face, know that God is watching over you. We must learn to trust God in every situation. He enables us to shine. Secondly, will you become a member of God's family? You know, simply attending church doesn't enable you to be part of his family. Being a part of his family requires more from us than just attendance. If we're part of God's family, then it means we're fully dependent on Jesus. We depend fully on Jesus for our forgiveness, for directions, and for our life. It's the biggest commitment we can make and should be done thoughtfully. It's not a decision to be taken lightly and then not one that we should then change. If you commit yourself to Christ, then commit to him with a sincere heart. May I encourage you, if you've not made that commitment, do it today. Jesus promises that everyone who comes to him will be saved. He promises to forgive our sins and he promises to give us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit which seals us. They're given a new life in Christ. Jesus invites you to be part of his family. If you're willing to listen and learn, then enter into that relationship with him right now. Don't delay. You know, turning to Jesus was the best decision that I ever made. And I'm not alone. There's many of you in this room who are the same, I'm sure. There are countless people here who've been changed by our Saviour Jesus. I thought I could save myself. I thought I could use my own strength. I thought I could rely on my sound judgment. But it doesn't work like that at all. We need to trust Jesus with everything. We must trust in his judgment. We must rest in his wisdom and strength. It involves trusting him enough to do what he says. We must listen to him. It sounds hard, but it is a wonderful, incredible, and life-changing chance. I encourage you to respond to his invitation. Perhaps during our final song, as we sing together, with real purpose in our hearts, Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into our willing souls. Amen.